Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 25th of April, 2011. I hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend. What a glorious weekend it was here in Southern Arizona. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We're very excited about the news that we have for you on buckmastershow.com about what will be happening with our show June 1st. We certainly urge you to log on to buckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings, 9 to 10. We re-air from 7 to 8 in the evening, and we're going to start off with our Monday morning political face-off, get you going with our commentators, John Munger and Vince Ribago. Who needs coffee when you've got John and Vince in the room? At the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking with Judy Burns. Ms. Burns is the clerk and longtime president of the TUSD Governing Board. And then 45 minutes past the hour, Clark Romans joins us. He's the executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Southern Arizona. He'll be talking about a big community event, community forum on mental illness at UA Centennial Hall on Wednesday afternoon. If you have a question or comment for John or Vince, give us a call on the Buckmaster Show live line. Our lovely producer, Rosemary Brandt, is waiting. She'll take your call, 529-3508. Vince and John, always good to see you, gentlemen.
Good to see you.
Good morning, Bill.
Vince, good morning.
John Munger is the former chair of the state and local Republican Party and 2010 candidate for governor. Vince Ribago, former Pima County chair of the Democratic Party and 2010 Arizona Attorney General candidate. Gentlemen, I want to start with something I read on one of the blogs. It's a very popular blog, actually. It's Greg Patterson's The Expresso Pundit, some would say very conservative blog. John, Mr. Patterson was saying that people of Arizona should actually pat on the back the lawmakers for this just concluded session.
Well, that's right. Greg Patterson is a former state senator, very highly respected. This has been a terrific legislative session. There's been so much accomplished in this legislative session. The budget was actually balanced for the first time in years with no gimmicks. We've actually got a balanced budget. We've solved that problem. The state is going to be running a balanced budget. We've got regulatory reforms that are serious. For the first time, people that want clarification on city, county, and state regulatory reforms or regulatory matters have a right to demand clarification of the regulatory matter within 30 days. So we no longer have to wonder about what various vague regulations mean. We've got national-wide market now for health insurance, so that people in the state can obtain health insurance from any insurer in the country.
Yeah, that's Senate Bill 1593. It's on the governor's desk.
Now the health insurance, of course, must comply with Arizona standards, but most health insurance across the country does. It'll increase competition drastically for the benefit in lowering prices and offering a much wider variety of packages to the consumer here in Arizona, so that the consumer will have a much broader choice, which in turn and much greater competition will lower prices.
So you all see kinds of great things. See this as being a real good session.
This has been one of the best sessions ever.
Wow. Vince,
well, I guess I don't need that coffee anymore, Bill. I'll tell you what, that's like congratulating the lions in the Roman arena after they've devoured the subjects that have been tossed into the arena. And that's what's happened to Arizonans and the everyday average citizen in the state of Arizona. They've been harmed tremendously by what has happened, and to hear these self-congratulatory pats on the back by folks like Russell Pierce and others that are in charge up at the legislature, frankly, is shocking, and people need to wake up and understand what has been done to them by the Arizona legislature. It's one thing to say, yes, you have a balanced budget. It's one thing to say, oh, we've provided some sort of right of clarification for regulatory issues. It's one thing to say we have this issue of opening markets, but the reality is, what is really happening, and at what cost. We've talked about it ad nauseum in prior shows. The budget has harmed the working man and woman in this state. It has harmed children. It has harmed the poor. It has been a legislature full of giveaways for the rich and takeaways for the poor. Giveaways for the rich, takeaways for the poor. We look at the cost issue, for example, the insurance issue. The reality is if they're not in Arizona, they don't have to comply, and that's the difference. And that is a huge thing, to take away regulatory enforcement for those who are not in the state of Arizona. But the reality is I want to talk about really principles and what's happening in this state with respect to legislature and some of the big ticket items that show really the hypocrisy. You know, in the early, at the turn of the 20th century, Republicans, and I congratulate them, Republicans ran on reforming the political system, reforming government, and they put into place, for example, merit system selection in government jobs, where they were not going to be subject to these political machines. And those were back then, at the turn of the 20th century, Tammany Hall, Democratic machines, and those were wrong. And I applaud the Republicans for having done that at the turn of the 20th century. But what you have now, for example, you have Frank Antonori, who has become essentially the Boss Tweed of Tammany Hall of Arizona, who has wiped away these merit system protections and to give political cronyism a new life in the state of Arizona. And that's exactly what's happening. We're having political cronyism, a return to machine politics, Republican machine politics now, and it's an outrage, and people need to know what's happening.
I'd love to know where the cronyism is. If you got some names, Vince, tell me what it is.
Well, Frank Antonori said that there was a Republican elected official in Santa Cruz County who was upset that he felt there were unresponsive Democrats in Santa Cruz County government. And that is why he pushed for this bill, which essentially all counties except Maricopa wipes out the merit system protection for county employees. So now what you're going to have government employees that are going to be working to please political bosses, trying to keep their jobs, getting involved in partisan politics, and we're taking away protections that are good for government, for the state.
Maybe what you have, Vince, is a system of civil service system that doesn't function. I don't think that anybody can claim that the bureaucratic system in this state or any place across the country works very well. They're not highly responsive. When you start being able to tell me who's been appointed as a crony of somebody else, we'll deal with it.
I got some names for you. Let me know when you want me to start. I'll go right now.
You talk about machines. You talk about the city. The city Democratic machine right here in Tucson. If you want to talk about machine politics, Vince, look in your own backyard. You've got the biggest machine in the state right here. You won't annex anybody because there's too many Republicans out there. You've got a tyranny of the majority right here in the city of Tucson. All of the city council wards elected by the same majority. There is no minority representation. You know, you got a log in your eye, Vince. Fix it. Don't tell me about what might happen. Fix the cronyism right here in Pima County.
Let's talk about that, because there you go again. Just saying it doesn't make it true. City of Tucson, the county, they all have merit systems. People do not get hired because of political patronage.
That's
what this bill
does.
That's
not true. I'm about ready to file suit against somebody who hired four of her relatives right here in Pima County, Vince,
and rejected
people.
And if you can show that that's a systemic practice, good for you, John. The reality is it's not there. You want to talk about Senate President Russell Pierce, who in fact was fired in part by a Republican governor because he was hiring his own sons. And his own son was fired because he was involved in an ID theft ring at Motor Vehicle Department. And that's where, when Russell Pierce was the director of Motor Vehicle Department, that's the kind of political patronage you're going to see, and it's wrong. And if you were filing a lawsuit against that kind of conduct, you ought to agree that that sort of behavior, to have political patronage, is wrong, no matter which party is in charge.
I agree it's wrong, Vince, but you can't, for a Democrat here in city of Tucson, to claim that the Republicans are behind cronyism and machine politics is rather absurd.
That's what you're going to get. You're going to get Boss Tweed. That's who Frank
Antonori is. That's what we've got right now in the city of Tucson Tweed. What we've got right here in the city of Tucson, politics is run by the Democratic machine, run by Raul Grijalva and a few of his colleagues. And that's what's going on. You ought to fix the log in your eye before you start telling me about the problems around.
Take a quick time out here to go to Bruce Ash, who called us on the Buckmaster Show. Bruce, one of our Monday morning commentators. Bruce, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen, I hate to rain in on your parade, but Vince, I thought I heard wrong. You said there's no cronyism in Tucson and Pima County. Wake up.
I said there's a merit system in place, and John said that is not true, and that essentially you have political cronyism. And the reality is this bill is getting rid of merit system protection, a thing that Republicans put into place at the turn of the 20th century.
Let's talk about what goes on here in Pima County.
Let's talk about history and what's happening right now.
This is probably one of the foulest organizations at the Pima County level. The cronyism and the patronage that's going on, and if you say prove it, you know what? You give me about 24 hours, and I'll have 100 names for you to start out.
You know, that's what's going to happen is now we're going to have government employees serving political masters because of
they
the
already
bill,
do, Vince, because of the Democratic
bill.
Machine.
No, that you're telling me that removing prohibitions against that sort of conduct and essentially making people subject to at will, where they just have to please their political boss.
I'm telling you right now, Vince. Right now, Vince, the system
I'll debate this all day long.
Yeah, the system doesn't work. There are so many cronies. Everybody in the city knows there's so many cronies on hire at the city and the county. It is one big Democratic crony system.
Take a time out here, gentlemen. Bruce Ash, thank you for checking in. We gotta go to a commercial. Thanks a lot. We'll be back.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Imagine Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Oh, we are back. It's Political Face-Off Monday morning on the Buckmaster Show. John Munger and Vince Robago. And during the break, John Munger was saying the gravy train is over, Vince.
Well, you know, there you go. You just have essentially verbal attacks based on something that has fundamentally and is fundamentally going to change our system of government as we know it. If the governor signs this law into place. And the reality is this was something that was put into place to stop Democratic machine-style politics in the big cities of the East at the turn of the century. And so now that was called Tammany Hall. You had Boss Tweed, these big political bosses. And essentially now you have in the form of Frank Antonori, whoever everyone knows is sort of the bully in the Senate, pushing this through, and they're trying to say, oh, this is the gravy train is over, and there's a machine politics here in Tucson. And the reality is that it's going to open the door exactly for machine-style
politics. You're saying it's going to open the door.
Absolutely.
Be the opposite of what
that's what he's
is.
Saying. And look, I'm against nepotism, and if John has a case against some government for nepotism, I'm all for getting rid of nepotism, and it's the same thing with political cronyism. And the reality is you have merit system protections both in the hiring. You have to hire people because of their merit, and you have to fire people when they've gone wrong. And
Vince,
getting rid of all that so you can have
Vince,
Russell Pierce and their cronies and others appoint Republican stoolies here to do their bidding, and people are going to want to try to save their jobs.
I'd be happy if we actually had a few Republicans appointed someplace here, just a few. This Democratic machine you talk about here is as bad as Tammany Hall. It is run with an iron fist in Pima County and in the city. Now, let me finish. I give you an opportunity.
I'm just shaking my
all
head.
Right. So, the gravy train is over for the bureaucrats who are not accountable to anybody, are not responsive, get into office, and you can't get them out. You don't elect them. You just get them in there. They do whatever they want to do. They run up huge bills. The gravy train is over. For those of you in the Democratic machine, Vince, who want to keep it as it is, it's over.
25 minutes past the hour.
Let's talk about what's happening here. For example, so we'll move on now to the other grand hypocrisy. Vote by mail. So local issue, city of Tucson decides, you know what, we're going to go to all vote by mail, just like Oro Valley, just like Sahuarita. But guess what happens? Representative Ted Voigt gets into place an amendment that says only in nonpartisan elections. Well, there's only one city in the state that doesn't have nonpartisan elections. That's the city of Tucson, and they just won a court battle
it's corrupt.
And so what happens is, to help his brother get elected, gets this into place, and it's an unconstitutional amendment, by the way, but gets this in place trying to suppress voter turnout, because Democrats typically don't they have a lower turnout rate than the Republicans.
Let's take a call now from Joe. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I appreciate the topic, but it's just crazy to listen to this because, you know what? The politicians, let's face it, if they're hanging out 7 out of 10 days with lobbyists, it tells you where the interest is at. And I don't care if you're on the right or you're on the left. Modern-day politics is broken. And it's just scandalous to sit around here and talk about who's dirtier and who's this and that. I've never seen it. Barack Obama's going to be the billion-dollar candidate. Tell me about democracy.
Okay, thank you, Joe. John Munger.
Well, I agree. We've got a system right now that only allows, because of the way the Democrats have built the system by limiting campaign contributions, we've got a system that only permits the very wealthy to run for office. You cannot raise, and Vince and I will both tell you, you cannot raise enough money in a campaign.
Both of you being former statewide candidates,
you cannot,
in 2010.
You cannot raise enough money from individual contributors so that a non-wealthy person, neither Vince or I are wealthy, a non-wealthy person can run against a wealthy person. You just can't do it. So what we've got is limits on campaign contributions that allow the wealthy to monopolize races. Now, what's the answer to that? The answer to that is let people contribute what they want to contribute and simply require it be reported on the internet, on a site, within 3 days. If the public thinks that that is a political issue because somebody gave a lot of money, fine, it's a political issue. But let's have the public decide rather than some bureaucrats in Washington or in Phoenix. So let's get rid of these limits on campaign contributions. Let people raise money to be able to contribute to the wealthy. And then you will minimize the ability of the lobbyists and everybody else to affect races.
Yes, yeah. Where John and I disagree is that I believe there has been that effort. And for example, in the state of Arizona, the clean election system is designed to provide that opportunity. And I agree with the caller that the system is broken and besotted with money and lobbyists, and we need to get that out of our system. The problem is every time, whether it's the Democrats trying to put campaign contribution limits so that big money lobbyists don't control the system, or whether it's a system in Arizona, the clean election system, to allow for your average Jane or Joe to run, the problem is the Republicans attack those systems and say, we got to get rid of these systems because it's wrong to limit the rich from giving more when the average Joe or Jane can't give as much. So what you have is, either way, you either have a system controlled by lobbyists or another by the Republican system, a system controlled by the wealthy. And then when we try to allow the average Jane or Joe to run, they attack it and say it harms the free speech rights of millionaires. So I agree with the caller. We need to get money out of politics. I'm 100% on board with him on that score. And what's happened is the Republicans have abused that system to no end.
Oh, wait a minute.
Less than a minute to go, guys.
Vince, you're the one of the two of us sitting here at the table that ran on clean elections money, on government, the government purse. I went out and tried to raise money at $840 a pop and run against people who were running as you were with on the public tit. So very frankly, Vince, the big money is coming from the public tit, not from the individual contributors. What we need to do is free people to be able to raise money and then require a reporting so that everybody knows what's been contributed. And if it's a political issue, then it's a political issue. But let the people decide. Quit trying to control it, which has all these unintended consequences. Free the system.
Quick comment, Vince, and we'll wrap it up.
Like I say, the reality is people need to see what's happening. We're returning to machine-style politics, and if government employees don't serve the Republican masters, they're going to be out of a job. So we need people to understand what's happening here is the height of Republican hypocrisy. It's local control only when it helps the Republicans. That's the problem.
Vince and John, thank you very much. We'll see you in June. Gentlemen, have a great day. Thanks a lot.
Political views collide.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Tucson's Jolt. Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The U.S. says what's happening in Syria is deplorable and is threatening sanctions against Syria. CNN's Rima Maktabi tells us there are reports of a brutal government crackdown in the city where the opposition movement started.
Daraa is besieged by the Syrian army. The troops are deployed all over the streets. And witnesses tell us there's no electricity, phone calls are down, no water, and the city is totally in exile.
Part of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's compound was flattened by a NATO airstrike. Libyan officials say Gaddafi is alive. We won't get a quick decision from the U.S. Supreme Court on the new health care law. The court rejected a request from Virginia to have an expedited review of whether the law is constitutional. The St. Louis airport is operating on a near-normal schedule today, 3 days after a tornado hit. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe talked to a real Ford service advisor surrounded by lots of tires.
Am I crazy, Fiona, or is this a lot of tires?
Well, Mike.
Don't answer. How many tires does Ford buy every year?
Over 3 million.
That's a lot of tires.
Well, we carry 11 major brands.
So the chances are very good that if I need new tires, you have them.
Absolutely.
At a good price.
We will beat our competitors' prices.
Huh. What is all this talking here about rotating tires? Is that important?
It's very important to rotate your tires. It's the life of your tires.
Now, see, isn't that kind of counterintuitive to a person who's in the business of selling tires?
Yes, but it's our job to make sure our customers get the longest life out of their tires as they can.
When you stop by a Ford dealer now, you can buy four Goodyear, Continental, Pirelli, Hankook, Dunlop, or Yokohama tires and get a $100 rebate. $100. And that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
3 million tires, 11 major brands. Fiona's kind of nice. I don't know why you're not here.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating dealership or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 5/31/11.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
It is now 35 minutes past the hour. Tomorrow, the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board will update the situation surrounding the controversial ethnic studies program at TUSD. TUSD Board President Mark Stegman has put together a resolution to turn Mexican-American studies history courses into electives instead of core courses. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Judy Burns. She's been on the TUSD Governing Board for the past 10 years. She's a past president of the board. She's now the clerk of the TUSD Governing Board. Judy, good to see you.
Good to see you, Mark. Good to see you, Bill.
Well, this is going to be a very important meeting tomorrow. There's a lot of confusion, I think, about what is going on here. How do you see this right now?
Well, right now, I think most everybody knows that the state is scrutinizing our courses over their House bill. I can never remember the law number, but it's House Bill 2281 that passed last year. That had 4 points that we could not teach. And we've steadfastly said that we do not teach these things. And the board has supported Mexican-American studies 100% over the last year, except for our now board president, Dr. Stegman. He had a dissenting view. Now that he is president, he has put forward a resolution that basically puts his point of view across, his minority point of view, on the board. And first of all, I'm sorry that he's done that, because as the past president for the last 2 years, it's very hard to speak for the board when they don't when they've chosen to do something that you didn't agree with. But I tried desperately to do that over the last 2 years. I knew my job. My job was to support the board. And it was difficult at times, but I did. And I expected Dr. Stegman to do that also. But he has now put forward this resolution that really dictates to the superintendent and administration how to do their jobs.
So we have two members, yourself and Ms. Grijalva, have said they will not be supporting Dr. Stegman's approach, proposal, saying the timing for its introduction is bad, considering that the Arizona Department of Education is indeed scrutinizing the program to determine if it complies with state law.
That's right, and we have had extensive discussions over the last year among board members publicly and with our attorneys, and we said over and over again that we would not get out in front of this. We would find out exactly what the state had determined we were in violation of before we start correcting things. But Dr. Stegman has jumped the gun and decided to do something which he thinks is going to solve all our problems. And before we get this report, which we don't expect for another couple of weeks, really, we won't know what the state wants of us. So I think it's a little early to make a lot of changes to pacify them when they may have other things in mind.
So you say it makes prudent sense just to wait, certainly, for the state to
yes.
see what the report is,
yes.
then address the issues.
That's right, and have our superintendent address how he would go about dealing with whatever they tell us when the report is finished, and make recommendations to the board. But we have the board president making recommendations to the staff and superintendent.
Now, the board president says this is a structural change. It would not kill the program. That's not his intention. Do you see it differently?
Yes, I do, because right now, I have been assured that especially the history classes do comply with state standards. They do comply with the law. The teachers are very aware of the core curriculum they need to get across. And if we put this into what Dr. Stegman calls regular core classes with regular teachers. I don't know what that means. These teachers are regular teachers too, so I don't know why he's distinguishing. But that they can, kids can still take these courses as electives. Now, I don't know if you've been around anybody who's been in high school recently, but there's not a lot of time. They have to come up with, over 4 years, I think 22 credits of specific things, and most high school students have 24 credit hours available to them in their high school years.
So very, in your opinion, very few people would take advantage of these Mexican-American study programs as an elective. They just wouldn't have the time.
They wouldn't have the time
to do it.
The
and then if no one's attending the classes, the program
absolutely
dies.
It dies.
Then there's this supporters of Mexican-American studies cite data that shows students who have taken the classes fare better overall than students who don't. The proposal by Dr. Stegeman says that that casual effect may be small, but he goes on to say that the programs, teachers, and curriculum have increased many students' motivation to succeed by the students' own convincing testimony.
And that's right. And I, over 10 years, have heard from hundreds of these students. I think we've had the classes for 12 years. I've heard from hundreds of them. And you can't really see it in a statistic. You can't see it in how many AIMS scores have gone up or how many kids have graduated. I've heard from the kids in the classes and the graduates of the classes and the difference it's made in their life.
Is this jumping the gun then? Because as you say, this report from the new state superintendent, John Hoopenthal, is coming out here very soon.
Very soon. Very soon. And it is jumping the gun. I mean, this is my biggest objection to bringing this out right now while this is still, while they are still writing their report to the state superintendent.
And you have board member Miguel Cuevas really looks like is going to be the swing vote then.
That's right.
Because board member Michael Hicks, well, according to the Arizona Daily Star, says he has never been a proponent of the courses.
Right. He campaigned on some of the issues against these classes, and I think he wanted them to be electives. I remember a long conversation explaining the difference between how kids could elect to take this instead of regular history, but it wasn't an elective. You know, it took the place of, because he heard people calling it an elective already, and that's not really the case. It's, you can choose it, but it counts as a credit you need to graduate.
And Dr. Stegeman says that the district may be in a stronger position by passing this resolution tomorrow night at the TUSD board meeting if it can show it's adopted comprehensive reform on its own. So he's saying maybe that it's best to head this off before the state report.
Well, maybe. We don't know. We don't know. And what we're doing is we're giving something to the state that they might not care about. They may have a whole different trajectory they want us to go on. And if the board adopts this tomorrow night, we're stuck with it. You know, the superintendent's stuck with it. His staff is stuck with it. It gives directives. And to me, that's micromanagement of the district. We hire the superintendent to make these determinations and bring them to the board, and we can reject them or not. But for the board to be telling the superintendent and his staff what they need to do to provide curriculum for the kids, I think is a very dangerous path to go down.
You've been around the district many years. I hate to say how many years, but you've observed before you became a board member, maybe for 15 years, even before you got on the board. So you've kind of been watching what's been going on with TUSD for almost a quarter of a century or longer. This is really a divisive issue right now, isn't it?
It is. It is the ugly emails we have gotten from people who just gleaned a couple things out of the newspaper and gone, you know, off the deep end on us from all over the country is very depressing because it's not based in fact. It's based on a supposition. We have also had tremendous support for these classes from all over the country, from Rutgers professors, from people in Peru, teachers in Peru, and everywhere in the country. So we've had some really positive support. As far as I know, we're the only K-12 education system in this country that provides any ethnic studies classes.
The budget situation, after all is said and done with the state budget, what does it look like for TUSD?
It looks bleak as usual. I mean,
Could it be any bleaker than last year?
It was pretty bad last year, but and over the last 2 years, losing $70 million. And here we've seen what a hardship it is not to have all-day kindergarten. The state took that away. We've promised to put it in all our elementaries. That'll have a cost, and we have to look at various ways to figure that out, because we've been having some parents at some schools pay to have their kids, which a lot of districts do, but it's not a fair system. And the kids who need it the most sometimes can't attend because they either don't have Title I money at their school or they don't have parents that can pay for it. So,
teacher layoffs on the horizon?
It's a possibility. We haven't gotten the bottom line on that, but we will be getting it pretty soon. They have to get moving on it, so...
47 minutes past the hour. We're speaking with Judy Burns. We're going to take a break right here. Judy, stick around, okay?
Okay.
Thanks a lot. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of 5 major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Canada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson community. Our thrift shop donations and sales provide more than half of needed funding, which goes to programs like Operation School Bell. Since its inception, Operation School Bell has provided clothing and school supplies for more than 38,000 children. But we need your help. Donate an item or a financial gift. Shop our thrift store or volunteer. For more information on how you can make a difference, visit AssistanceLeagueTucson.org.
Hey
It's about 50 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, and we're going to wrap it up with Judy Burns, the clerk of the TUSD Governing Board. Judy, tomorrow the big meeting then on ethnic studies. You would like public input. You would like the public to be a witness to this. Where should they go and what time?
Well, they should go to our headquarters at 1010 East 10th Street, and the public meeting is scheduled to start at 6 o'clock. And we will start out with a call to the audience, but it will only last for a half an hour.
But people will be able to talk.
Absolutely.
Okay, Judy Burns has been with us on the Buckmaster Show. Judy, thank you, and good luck with that big meeting tomorrow night.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. This Wednesday afternoon, everyone is invited in the community, speaking of meetings, to come to a free and public forum titled A Delicate Balance, Creating a Better Post-January 8th System to Protect the Public and Help the Seriously Mentally Ill. The event will include a forum with experts, followed by a question and answer session. That event begins at 1:45 in the afternoon, ends at 5, and be held at Centennial Hall on the University of Arizona campus. The event is sponsored by the Arizona Daily Star and the Shore Family Award Organization. Among the panelists will be Clark Romans, Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Southern Arizona. Mr. Romans joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Romans, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Tell me about the assessment that you have right now. What's the kind of the mental health of Southern Arizona and Pima County? What's it looking like right now?
Well, I would say it's looking a little bit desperate. I think that our call volume, for example, has increased almost 40% since the beginning of the cuts last July, and they've escalated even a little bit more since January 8th. The cases have become not only more numerous, but more complicated.
And why is that? Just because people are waiting longer for attention and the need and coming for service?
Well, I think it's twofold, really. One is that many people, since the July cuts, are simply not getting the services that they had in the past. These are seriously mentally ill individuals who, because of their income situation, don't quite qualify for access. So their case management, their brand name prescription medication, their support groups, their transportation support, and their other kind of related services are all gone, and they were taken away kind of in one fell swoop. So these people are struggling to cope themselves with things that they used to get extensive support for.
And, of course, thousands of people in Pima County do receive mental health treatment through the public system known as Access or Medicaid, but really nobody knows how many other people perhaps need services and just aren't getting it. Is that correct?
Oh, that is absolutely correct. Based on the World Health Organization statistics, in a city of around 1 million or an area of 1 million people, there are somewhere between 70 and 100,000 people who have a serious mental illness. So that would be schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or major clinical depression.
Tell our listeners, Mr. Romans, about the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Southern Arizona and why this meeting is so important coming up on Wednesday afternoon.
Well, our organization is part of a national organization. NAMI nationally has about 1,100 affiliates. We are one of 10 here in Arizona. And I think this meeting is greatly important because not only will we have some national figures from the behavioral health community talking about latest research and other innovations and things that are going on not only here but across the nation, but I think that we really need to focus right now on Tucson because, frankly, I think the world eyes are on us now because of the nature of this tragedy that took place. So how this community responds and how the services of the various provider organizations are utilized, how we educate people, and how we talk about mental illness is going to be in the spotlight.
I know I've interviewed over the years many of the speakers who have come in. I've probably interviewed over the last 10 or 15 years all of pretty much the keynote people involved with the Shore Family Award. That really is a wonderful program. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, this is a program that's been going on for about 15 years. The Shore Family and the University of Arizona Foundation have jointly, over the years, recognized individuals throughout the nation who've played an important role in helping or spotlighting issues concerning mental illness, whether it's research or just awareness. But they've featured those individuals and had them come here and give a talk. This year, the Shore family felt we should shift the focus a little bit, or maybe a lot, and have not only the honoree, Dr. Tom Insel, but a panel of people to really engage the community in a much broader way than they've done before and try to start a conversation, not just have, if you will, a lecture.
And Dr. Tom Insel is the director of the National Institute of Mental Health. He's a real key figure in working to combat mental illness in this country. He'll be giving the keynote talk, which will be titled Trying to Understand Serious Mental Illness After January 8th. And I think, Mr. Romans, a lot of us are trying to understand the implications of what happened January 8th. It's still hard for many of us to understand it.
It is difficult. I mean, mental illnesses have been around for a long time, but they're still shrouded in mystery and cloaked in stigma because people are ignorant about the nature of them. Families do not want to talk about an illness. They don't recognize it, and even if they do, it's such a stigmatized illness that people really are in denial. They don't want to hear about it. So because there's no conversation about it, typically people remain in the stigmatized area, believing sometimes more in myths or assumptions about mental illness, when they often learn about the basics of mental illness as a biological brain disorder. It removes many layers of misunderstanding and therefore stigma.
And you know, when we talk about serious mental illness, that we're talking about a medical condition and not a character flaw. And I think that's a very important point.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you'll hear that point reiterated many times on Wednesday.
What can people do if they think someone that they know has a mental illness problem? Is there some way that they can direct that person to help?
Well, absolutely. If it looks like a crisis, there's always the community-wide crisis number, 622-6000. It's an emergency number specifically focused on people in a mental health crisis. If individuals don't remember that or they feel the situation's out of control, they can always call 911, ask for a CIT-trained officer. That's a crisis intervention-trained officer. All the law enforcement units in this community send officers to get a special 40-hour training as to how to deal with and understand mental health crises.
Okay, Clark Romans, thank you very much. We'll look forward to the event at Centennial Hall, and that will be starting at 1:45 and ending at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the issue, mental illness. Thank you, Mr. Romans.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Going to wrap it up here on the Buckmaster Show. Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Once again, I urge you, please visit buckmastershow.com with information there about our future and what's going to be happening with our show. We're excited about it. What will be happening on June 1st. So have a great day. Bye-bye.